Welcome to Truth Unchanged and Unchanging, the radio ministry of the First Congregational Church of Merrimack, New Hampshire. I'm Stephen Michaud, the assistant pastor of the First Congregational Church of Merrimack, and our sermon today is entitled, Giving Thanks Always for All Things. This sermon is an exposition of the Epistle to the Ephesians, chapter 5, verse 20. Pastor Alan Tomlinson will now read and expound our text.
We're going to read for our New Testament reading verses 18 through 21. We'll be concentrating upon verse 20 this morning. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 18 through 21. Hear God's word. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. And all God's people said, Amen. According to the Holy Spirit in this text, if I am filled with or controlled by God's Holy Spirit as a Christian, then I will participate in the public worship of God on the Lord's Day in fellowship with Christ's church. And this will especially be manifested in my personal participation in the singing of praises to God with the rest of the congregation. Congregational singing of psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs is the first manifestation of being filled with the Spirit or being controlled by the Holy Spirit given to us in this text. We find that in the participial extension of the command in verse 19. In verse 18, we have the command, be filled with the Spirit. Modifying that, we see, first of all, that as a manifestation of being filled with the Spirit, we worship God as we gather to worship Him with His people. The second manifestation is the one we're looking at this morning. Second manifestation of being filled with or controlled by the Holy Spirit is a Spirit-filled Christian gives thanks always for all things to the God and Father through our Lord Jesus Christ. And again, as with singing hymns, as we gather together on the Lord's Day, this might seem pretty mundane when compared with the erroneous teaching today, the very prevalent today, that would say that being filled with the Holy Spirit manifests itself in speaking in tongues or performing miracles. These things seem very mundane, very, very everyday, don't they? To gather together and from the heart sing praises to God doesn't seem nearly as spectacular from a human viewpoint as performing great signs and wonders. And yet in the Bible, this is the manifestation, the ongoing manifestation of being controlled by the Holy Spirit, worshiping God with His church, and being thankful to God from the heart for all things, at all times. This is how we manifest that God's Word is controlling our lives, that the Holy Spirit who has given us that Word is taking that Word that we are bringing in by a regular and faithful and consistent use of the means of grace, and is using that Word in a gracious way, in an effective way in our hearts and lives. The second manifestation is something very unique to the Spirit-filled Christian. That makes it a little bit different than the first manifestation in one sense. The first manifestation, you can be a hypocrite and join in singing, and God knows, but we don't know necessarily that you're a hypocrite if you sing praises to God and don't really mean it. But here we move, you see, from the gathered church coming together and having a manifestation of being controlled by the Holy Spirit to something that takes place first and foremost inside of you, and that is being thankful in all situations. And if you think about it, who can be thankful always for all things except someone who does so in the power and the grace of the Holy Spirit is administered in the name of Jesus Christ by God the Father? We're looking here, really, it may seem like a mundane, everyday kind of thing to say be thankful, but when you're thinking in terms of being thankful always for all things, you're looking at something that's utterly impossible apart from the regenerating work of the Holy Spirit and then the ongoing work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Utterly impossible. There's no one that you know or that I know apart from Christ who could carry out this command. And as a matter of fact, this is probably the hardest command that we face as Christians, isn't it? You think about it. This is probably the hardest command that we face as Christians. How many of you have been Christians 5 years or more? Okay, of those of you who have been Christians 5 years or more, what kind of week do you think I had with this text as my chosen text? And there was by the time Thursday rolled around, I thought, boy, they better appreciate it. And of course, as soon as I thought that, I thought, well, I'm not carrying out the text probably at that point. This is really where the rubber meets the road, what we're looking at today. This is where we really take our faith and we apply it, sometimes in almost a frightening manner, in our everyday lives. And so this is an important command for us to meditate on just by itself here. Verse 20, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. What does the verse actually command? And again, it is a command. It's a participial phrase that is extended from the imperative or the command of verse 18. Be filled with the Spirit. How? Singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to one another as you gather to worship, and being thankful always for all things to God the Father through our Lord Jesus Christ. Spirit-filled people first then give thanks to the God and Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. What does it mean to give thanks? Let's think about that. As far as giving thanks to God, what does it mean? To give thanks to God is to accept what God is doing in a given situation. Whatever we're being thankful for, we're accepting. On some level, we're accepting what it is that God is doing to us and around us. We're recognizing that God is doing good for us. Whatever that situation is. If you don't believe that something is good, you can't, on some level, that it's good for you on some level, you can't really say you're being thankful for it. If you're being thankful for it, you've come to some kind of recognition, some level of recognition that this is for my good. To give thanks to God is to glorify God for what is happening. It takes place only when I see whatever is happening to me right now in the light of God's great eternal plan of redemption. And I see that what is happening is part of how that eternal plan of redemption is being applied to me personally, or perhaps through my circumstances, it's being applied to the lives of those I love around me. In other words, I may suffer so that those around me may come to know Christ. And so in that kind of situation, I can see, I make myself look at the big picture, and so I can be thankful. To give thanks is not only to worship and express gratitude to God in my heart, but you know, actually, when you think about it, giving thanks is also something we do with our lips. And so if I'm being thankful for all things always, then others will hear me. They'll hear me not speaking negative words of grumbling and complaining, but they'll hear me speaking positive words of faith, hope, and love to God. Biblical thanksgiving is to God the Father. That is, to God as my spiritual Father through the gospel. For in the gospel, in the good news of Christ, God is my Father, not just merely by the fact that He created me, but by the gracious work of regeneration, by the work of the rebirth, whereby the Holy Spirit uses the preaching of the Bible to make me alive to God and to enable me to believe the good news and be saved. So the non-Christian, as far as this text is concerned, it says, give thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is a text that a non-Christian is not able to carry out. If he is able to come to God the Father through Jesus Christ, he is indeed a believer of the gospel and he is a Christian. So by definition, a non-Christian can't carry out this particular command he's talking about here, this particular kind of thanksgiving. And we see this same point in the fact that we give thanks to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, first, if he's not my Lord Jesus Christ, then I can't carry out this command because he does use the personal possessive pronoun here. Our Lord Jesus Christ, someone who belongs to us, and that Christ only belongs to you by a personal faith in him as you believe the gospel, as you believe that he truly is God in the flesh and that he came and died for sinners and rose again. That's the only way you can say my Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord Jesus Christ. To give thanks to God the Father through his name means through who he is and what he has done. If you give thanks to God the Father in the name of Jesus in the Bible, the name speaks of the whole person and of their life, their activity, of who and what they are. Christ is God in the flesh. He is the God-man. He is the eternal Son of God. These are different ways of saying the same thing, that He is one unique person who is both God and sinless man. And it's only as I have that faith that I can begin to give thanks to God the Father always for all things. And I'm going to try to show how those two things do relate to one another logically. That faith in Christ, who He is, and in what He has done, and my ability to give thanks to God according to this command. To come in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ means I not only believe that He is whom the Bible says He is, but I believe that He has done, He has accomplished for my reconciliation to God what the Bible, what the gospel says He has accomplished. Namely, that He has laid down His life on the cross as the atoning sacrifice for my sin, and that He has risen from the dead, whereby I am justified. I am brought into a new relationship with God by faith in Him. And He now is seated at the Father's right hand, interceding for me. It's only with that kind of faith that I can come to God the Father, and it's only with that kind of faith that I can really know the thankfulness that this text is speaking of. So only a Christian can give thanks to God in this way, one who has a personal relationship with God through a personal faith union with Jesus Christ, as Savior and Lord. And all who have such a personal experience of gospel salvation ought to be giving thanks in the way that this text commands. We don't always, or God would not have had to give us the command here. It is written to Christians. But we ought to be giving thanks to Him, and this ought to be one of the primary goals of our life and of our experience as Christians, that this becomes more and more characteristic of who we are as a believer in Christ. So Spirit-filled people give thanks to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, but the text goes further than that. We'd be all right if that's all that it said. What it says is we Spirit-filled people give thanks to God the Father in the name of Jesus Christ always for all things. Always for all things, during good times and bad times. And that means, you know, if I see something and feel it from my earthly perspective as bad, or if I see and feel it as good, I'm to give thanks to God the Father through the Lord Jesus Christ. During times of sickness and times of good health, during times of pain and times when I feel good, during times of earthly happiness and during times when I'm experiencing great trouble and distress of soul, during times when things are going the way I want them to go, and times when nothing seems to go the way I would like it to go. In summer, winter, fall, spring, at home and abroad, in the family circle, at work, at school, at play, at church gatherings, when the children are behaving and when they're not behaving, when my spouse is showing me the love I expect and feel that I need and when that's not happening, when my coworkers are cooperative and friendly and when they are not, when I have all the earthly supplies, all the earthly necessities I feel that I need, and when I'm having to do without, when I can see the good and the bad things that happen to me, and when I can't see any good in the bad things happening to me. It seems to me that all of that would have to be included in such all-inclusive language as always for all things. As a matter of fact, always for all things is redundant, isn't it? It's redundant. And when God purposely gets redundant in His Word, He's underlining something for us. He's, you know, not always when God says all, does He mean all without any kind of textual or contextual limitation. Most of the time there are some contextual limitations built into the statement. But when God underscores the always, when He says always at all times, it seems to me He's saying, I'm not giving you any limitations here. There are no implied implicit or explicit limitations. At all times, as my people, as one controlled by the Spirit, you should be thankful. At any moment you're controlled by the Spirit, you will be thankful. That will be one of the manifestations of being filled with the Spirit. Now let's begin. It's important we understand the context here. This is being thankful to God through Jesus Christ. That's what He's commanding us. This is what He's saying. Is the manifestation of being filled with the Spirit. He doesn't say that we necessarily have to feel good about what's going on. Don't make that confusion, because the Bible doesn't confuse those two things. At other places in the Bible, he tells us that no trial at the moment is joyful, but is grievous, is painful. So the Bible isn't saying here that we have to feel good about what's going on. The Bible isn't saying that when we're missing out on some earthly pleasure that seems to us a necessity, that we have to feel good about that and just put that out of our mind necessarily. It doesn't say that we have to find earthly pleasure or happiness in difficult situations, in the situations themselves. But it's recognizing, being thankful to God always in all things is recognizing that He's in charge. And that He is doing all things right because He's always right. Because He's always righteous and He's always in charge. Therefore, it's that recognition that this is not an evil thing from God upon me, but that it is for my good. And expressing that to Him. That's what it means to be thankful. Expressing in my heart, God, I know You're right. And I know that You're righteous in all that You do, including what's happening to me right now. And it's expressing it to myself. I've got to talk to myself. Being thankful to God is a matter of talking to myself and saying, this is not God. This is not God being unfaithful, for God is never unfaithful. This is for my good, because all that God does, He's in sovereign control of all things as God. That's part of the very definition, is that He is infinite in His power and in His wisdom. There's nothing He's unable to do, and He does all that He pleases, and so therefore, this is something I need to be thankful for, what I'm experiencing. And also, again, being thankful to God involves speaking to others. How can I really believe that I've come to grips with my need to recognize God's rightness in whatever's happening to me if I'm grumbling to You about it? I know that those things, that would be self-contradictory. And so I not only have to come to grips within myself, I have to express it to You, and I have to express it to God. That whatever is happening, God is in the right, and He is in charge of all things, including this thing that's happening to me right now. This does not mean agreeing with bad things that other people are doing. I'm to be thankful in all circumstances, even when they do bad things, but it doesn't mean I'm agreeing with them doing those bad things, that I'm giving moral support to them in what they're doing. It doesn't mean that I agree with them when they don't do the good things that God commands us to do. It does not mean that I refuse to correct myself or to correct others when we're in the wrong. Being thankful in all circumstances doesn't mean that I refrain from disciplining my children when they're in the wrong, or disciplining students or church members or fellow citizens who are misbehaving. It doesn't mean I sit back and never attempt to change things, to make them better as far as my human understanding can see that they could be better. But it does mean that after I've done all that I can do to make things right, then I trust the Lord, consciously, deliberately choose to trust the Lord and have gratitude to Him, knowing that He is in absolute control, that He is in charge, and that He does all things well if we look at it from eternity's viewpoint. And I want to come back to that. That's the key here. We're looking at things from the viewpoint of heaven when we are thankful always at all times. So that's what this verse is telling us to do. If we're to manifest being filled with the Spirit, we are to always, for all things, give thanks to God our Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That as Christians, we always trust and praise God in our heart, speaking within our own heart to ourselves that God is worthy of all our praises, even for this particular thing going on in my life, and that I express that to God and to others, not only in my heart, but with my lips. Now, if we're going to at all come to grips with this command as believers, we must keep in mind the big points of the Bible. This command is based on the big points, the big doctrines, the big themes of God's Word. If we don't keep these things in mind, we cannot be thankful always in all things. And this reminds us then that being filled with the Spirit is intricately connected with the use of the means of grace, and particularly bringing in God's Word into our hearts and lives and minds. And we saw that as we compared Colossians and Ephesians in this very same context, where in Colossians it's fill your mind up with the Word, and in the same place in Ephesians it's be filled with the Spirit. We are controlled by the Spirit. The more we're bringing God's Word into our minds, and our lives are being controlled by that Word. And at this very point, we especially see that. There's no way at all you can be thankful always for all things if you haven't yet begun to learn some of the big points of the Bible. This is based on God's Word, the whole counsel of God being taught to God's people, which Paul tells us in Acts chapter 20 he had done for the church at Ephesus. He had taught them the whole counsel of God. He had taught them the big points of the whole system of truth that God had made known. So let's think in terms of just some of the doctrines that relate to this, us carrying out this command. And actually, it's almost an endless list. Every major doctrine in the Bible, every doctrine in the Bible would have a relationship to this command. But I'm just going to pick out three for the sake of our time this morning. First, this command is based on the doctrine of God, the doctrine of God Himself. The doctrine of God in Christian theology has been called the doctrine of theology proper. Theology proper, the doctrine of who God is and what He has done and is doing. Now, who is God? What is God? And I don't think I've ever read a more precise and concise definition of who God is based on the scriptural teaching, bringing it all together in one statement, than from our shorter catechism, question number 4. What is God? God is a spirit, infinite, eternal, and unchangeable. So He is infinite, He is eternal, He is unchangeable in His being, wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness, and truth. If you will think through that definition, again, question number 4 in the shorter catechism, you can derive from that, from every part of that statement, you can derive the command to be thankful always for all things. It's based on who God is and what He has shown Himself to be. God knows all things ahead of times. He has planned all that happens. Whatever situation you're facing right now that God is calling upon you to express thanksgiving in is something that God has always known and He's always planned. That's the doctrine of providence taught in Ephesians 1:11, that God is working all things according to the counsel of His will. And it's expressed, based on Ephesians 1:11, it's expressed again in our shorter catechism, question number 11, what are God's works of providence? God's works of providence are His most holy, wise, and powerful, preserving and governing all His creatures and all their actions. All His creatures and all their actions. Someone does something bad to you, well, that someone is a creature of God and the doctrine of providence, Ephesians 1:11, God is working all things according to the counsel of His will. God, in one sense, He's made known to us that did not happen apart from His control. That did not happen apart from His love for you and His concern for you as a believer. He's never out of control, whatever situation we have. And God is infinitely good and just. The Bible teaches that, both testaments, beginning to end. God is infinitely good and just. All that He does is right and just. The very definition of righteousness and justice in the Bible is that human activity, or that human quality that would be in conformity to God's image. That is, righteousness is what reflects God's holiness. Justice is what reflects God's holiness. He is righteous and just. We can't picture Him as unjust or unrighteous because He Himself defines righteousness. Who He is defines justice. And everything He's told us about righteousness and justice flows out from who He is. And so I have to think about that when I'm thinking about my given situation and the need to be thankful. Everything that God does, including what's happening to me right this minute, is part of His righteousness, His justice. All that He does is truth. God is true to His Word. And if we think that we're experiencing something that's not true to what God has said in His Word. We have either misread the Bible or we are misreading our particular experience, and many times we're probably doing both. And that's why it doesn't seem to add up. God is always true to His Word. And again, this reminds us of the importance of Bible study and using the means of grace. If we don't grow in a right understanding of God's Word, it will be more difficult for us to give thanks always for all things, because we'll misread situations, not reading them in the light of what God really is saying in His true Word. All that God does is done according to His infinite wisdom and knowledge. That means God never makes a mistake. He always knows best. And again, you can see how that would fit in with the need, if you're going to be thankful always for all things, you have to really believe that. You have to really come to grips with that truth in your soul, in your mind, that God is infinite in His wisdom, that God always does best, that God always knows what's best and always does what's best. All that God does is according to His infinite power and presence. He never slips up and He's never weak. Psalm 135, verse 6, whatever the Lord pleases, He does in heaven and in earth and the seas and in all deep places. And Psalm 115, verse 3, is contrasting the true God of the Bible with the idols of the nations. And it says, but our God is in heaven. He does whatever He pleases. Now think about what's said about God in the Bible here. I'm trying to just review a little bit of it. Do you see then that to complain and murmur against my circumstances, according to the Bible, is for me to complain and murmur against the God of providence? The God who is working all things according to His infinitely good and wise and just and truthful and eternal plan. For me to complain and murmur is a lack of faith. It is a failure to really practice a biblical hope or assurance. And it's a falling short in loving God for all that He's revealed Himself to be. In other words, I'm saying that when we complain and grumble, we sin against faith, hope, and love. That wonderful trilogy mentioned in 1 Corinthians 13. In the end, I'm making, when I complain and grumble, instead of trusting and being thankful to this omnipotent and omniscient God of the Bible, think about this, I am making my personal convenience and my temporary pleasures the sum and total of the universe. In my own mind, I'm making the universe, I'm making everything revolve around me. You know, if something's not good unless I like it, then who am I in my own thinking? I'm God. I'm the center of the universe. If it's not pleasing to me, it's not good. Well, the only one of whom that's true is the one whose very being defines goodness, and that is God Himself. Whatever is pleasing to Him is good. By definition of the word God. And so if I'm saying it's not good because it doesn't please me, then I'm trying to play God at that point. And that's what I do when I grumble and complain. That's what I do as a Christian, as a minister. That's what you do as a Christian when we grumble and complain instead of being thankful. It's based on the doctrine of God, this idea of being thankful always for all things. Secondly, it's based on the doctrine of our free salvation in Jesus Christ. The Bible teaches that the only really important thing for me as a human being is that I know God truly through faith in His eternal and only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. Everything else in this world is to be subservient to that. Everyone, including myself and my happiness, is to be subservient to the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible teaches that my entire purpose as a human being is to glorify and enjoy God forever. Again, I'm putting the shorter catechism there. Question number one. What a great place for a creed to begin. What's my purpose as a human being? To glorify and enjoy God forever. And if I have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ for my salvation from sin and from the eternal consequences of my sin, then I have been brought into a right relationship with God by grace alone. And I will glorify and enjoy Him forever. That's what the gospel says, right? Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. For God so loved the world that Whosoever believeth in his, that he sent forth his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. That's just saying that I'm going to glorify and enjoy God forever if I've really trusted from my heart in Jesus Christ as my Savior and bowed before Him as my Lord. So if that's true of me, then my entire purpose as a human being is fulfilled. It's fulfilled. And it's being fulfilled if I've been justified by faith in Christ alone. And if I'm now, as a result of that, being sanctified by His Word and Spirit. If you're a justified person, and that is manifested by the fact that the work of sanctification has begun on even a small level in your life, you could die right now and you haven't missed anything as far as what God's Word says. Whether or not you ever get married, you know, who you marry, whether it's a happy or unhappy marriage, whether you have children or don't have children, you know, whether you have the job you wanted or that you had hoped for or never have that job, whether you have much or whether you have little, as far as the Bible is concerned, if you have Christ, you have all that really matters, all that's going to eternally matter. Now, can you see how that fits in with being thankful always in all things? You have to have that conviction that there's nothing that's of the ultimate good being withheld from you, whatever the circumstance. And if you have Christ, then the ultimate good is yours, whatever your circumstance. When I'm not thankful in any given situation or circumstance of life, then I'm forgetting that the most important, only lasting thing is what I have with my salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. When I grumble and complain, then, as a Christian, as one who's saved by the grace of Jesus Christ, what is happening is I've lost perspective. I've lost perspective. In my grumbling and complaining, I'm making something else. My good health, my earthly pleasures, some kind of temporary human happiness, I've made that more important than what God says is the most important, and at the end of the day, the only really important thing, which is Christ. In Christ, the most important thing can never be taken away from me, no matter what's happening to me, no matter what's going on in the world around me. And so this idea of being thankful for all things at all times is based on the doctrine of salvation in Jesus Christ. And then thirdly, it's based on a related doctrine, the doctrine of eternal glory in Jesus Christ. And I had said earlier in the sermon that I had to come back to this, that in the end of the day, always being thankful for all things is heavenly mindedness. It's looking at things from heaven's viewpoint. That's what Paul's doing, you know, in Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Many of you know that verse by heart. And we know that God works all things together for good to those who love Him, to those who are the called according to His purpose. In the context there in Romans 8, he's dealing with our eternal predestination, which results, knowing that we were eternally predestined to believe the gospel, results in a certainty of our eternal glory. This is something that God has planned from before the creation of the world. And so He's going to bring it to pass. But how is He going to bring it to pass? Well, everything that ever happens in your life as one of His elect. He brings it to pass through Jesus Christ, but He brings it to pass through Jesus Christ by your trusting in Jesus Christ and your union with Jesus Christ. But He also tells us in Romans that in chapters 1 through 3 that we're so sinful, we will not see the truth of the gospel. We will not come to Christ when left to ourselves. So in Romans 8, He's reminding us that God works in everything that you have ever experienced to bring about your effectual call, to bring to pass your acceptance of the invitation of the gospel. You have come to Christ and you abide with Christ because of these things that are happening to you. And we know, those of us who have been Christians any time at all, we've learned a little bit to know our own hearts. If we didn't have our trials, we'd fall away. So that's all there is to it. I mean, there are times we like to think, well, if only I didn't have this problem and that problem. But in our mature spiritual reflections, we know that if we didn't have our trials, we wouldn't keep reading the God's Word, we wouldn't keep praying, we'd fall away from going to church. Or we'd only do it out of mere rote habit only. It's our trials and afflictions that make all of this come alive to us on an ongoing basis, doesn't it? It's when we feel desperate that we're serious again about seeking the Lord. And that's what Romans 8 is telling us. It's telling us you need to back up. You need to put yourself in the position you'll be in. You actually need to go ahead. You need to move ahead. Put yourself in the mental attitude you'll have in heaven. And heaven is going to be so wonderful, and our eternal glory in Christ so incredible beyond anything we can even imagine now, the apostle tells us, that we'll look back on everything that God used to get us here and we'll say, boy, I'm glad that happened. Anything and everything that was part of the process of causing me to come to faith and to see who Christ is and to believe in Him and to follow Him and to keep following Him, to persevere in the gospel. Anything that got me here is what we're going to say in heaven. Anything that got me here is a good thing. And I'm thankful for it. And especially as we reflect upon in heaven, as we reflect upon those who are in hell. And know that that's where we deserved to be. Then anything that God used to keep us out of hell and to put us into heaven, we're going to know from the viewpoint of heaven was a good thing. And all the apostles doing this, telling us in Romans 8, 28, he says we've got to start being more heavenly minded right now. We believe the gospel. We believe what it says about heaven and hell. We believe what it says about salvation in Christ. We believe that He's guaranteed eternal glory for those who trust in Christ. So I need to start thinking now like I'll be thinking in heaven on the basis of my gospel faith. And I need to say whatever's happening right now is part of what God is using to humble me, to make me childlike, as Pastor Stephen reminded us from Psalm 131 this morning, to cause me to look to God's Word instead of looking to my own resources, to cause me to depend upon God's grace instead of thinking I could at all depend upon myself in any way, shape, or form. This is all good. Anything that works, that faith in Christ, that union with Christ, is good. You know, it's only as we begin to think that way that we quit our grumbling and we quit our complaining and that we begin to be thankful always for all things. Because we have to look at the particular thing in the light of what God is doing for me now to bring me to glory later. And so, let me just summarize. You cannot consistently apply this command unless you have been born again. And so have been brought to trust in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and bowed before Him as your Lord and God. And if you have not trusted in Christ, I urge you to do so. One of the things as I was in my own personal devotions this morning, I was thinking, you know, probably the average unbeliever who hears the gospel preached has a hard time believing it. It's incredible. In the gospel, God says He's going to give us everything that matters, and He's going to give it to us freely, just by trusting in His Son. And we're so used to our fellow sinful human beings promising us things they don't deliver on, that it's probably one of the main obstacles to the unbeliever believing the gospel. It's just too good. It sounds too good to be true. But my friend, let me tell you that literally billions of souls throughout history have tried it and found it to be true. You put your trust in Christ, and God does deliver on what He promises. And it's only if you do that that you can begin to be thankful in the way this text speaks of. And then as a Christian, you must be in God's Word. I've tried to point that out to us in the second part of my sermon here. If you're not growing in your understanding of these great truths about God and even about your salvation, you're not going to have the basis, the mental basis you need to be able to think through your given situation and say, even in this, I can be thankful and need to be thankful to God. It's only in light of those great doctrines of the Scriptures. And there's no shortcut to that. You've got to open your Bible up and start studying it and reading it, and you got to hear God's Word preached. And you got to keep doing that. It's not 40 days or even 40 years. It's a lifetime of seeking the Lord and His Word. And so you grow in your ability to carry out this command, to manifest the control and the filling of the Holy Spirit. As you understand God's Word better, you can be thankful more whatever is happening to you. Have you been born again? Have you trusted in Jesus Christ as your only Savior and bowed before Him as your Lord and as the one true God? And are you, as a believer in Christ, in His Word, hiding His Word in your heart? so that you are giving thanks to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ always for all things. Let's pray together. Gracious Heavenly Father, we pray that more and more we as a church and as individual believers and Christian families in this church, that we would manifest being filled with the Spirit in this way in which your word commands us this morning, by being thankful to you through Jesus Christ, your Son, always for all things. We confess to you our many failures in this. We confess to you that though you have made provision with the great and glorious doctrines you revealed in your word for us to be able to give thanks to you in this way, we confess to you that often our faith is inconsistent. We confess to you that often we have failed to really meditate on and reflect upon these glorious truths of who you are and what you've done for us in Christ. And so, Lord, we often have grumbled and complained and sinned greatly against you and sinned greatly against your grace and love in Christ in doing so. Lord, we come anew this day confessing our sin and calling upon you to strengthen us by your Holy Spirit in our inner man, that we might truly be a thankful people, that we might manifest the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, your eternal grace, that we might be witnesses of it more powerfully as we have hearts that are full and overflowing with thanksgiving to you, even in the midst of our trials and our tribulations in this world. And Father, if there are any among us who have not trusted in Christ as Lord and Savior, we pray that as they reflect upon your word, as they think about the gospel as it has been spoken this day, that your Holy Spirit would work effectually in their hearts, and by your grace that you would draw them to union with Christ by gospel faith. And we pray this, Heavenly Father, for your glory. We worship you and give thanks to you for all that you are doing and have done and will yet do. Through Jesus Christ, amen.
Thank you for joining us at Truth Unchanged and Unchanging, the radio ministry of the First Congregational Church of Merrimack. We meet for Sunday worship at 10:45 a.m. and again at 6 o'clock p.m. If you're looking for a church home, we invite you to join us as we gather to glorify God, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We meet at 7 Babusick Lake Road, right across from Merrimack Town Hall. And now, to God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be ascribed exalted praises. Amen.